All right, y'all, we are back. 106.1 FM, WAKT, Toledo's community radio station, the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka The Whip Show. Now, we just had my boy Joey Wood from Edge of Philly Sports on the show, and he was kind of talking about his experience with Media Day for WrestleMania weekend. And we kicked it about how serious it is, but man, if our situation was heavy, this guy's situation, you got to multiply it by about 100%, man. I want to bring on one of the producers for the number one pro wrestling radio show in the world, Busted Open. Andre, how are you feeling, my guy?
I am finally recovered from WrestleMania weekend. It took me a while, but I'm finally good.
Dog, I think that's the consistency across the board with all the media people. Like, we all had to recover. Like, it was so serious, man. And that's kind of what this whole episode is about. People understanding how deep it was. Now, I know me personally, I got back in town on Wednesday, and I was on Do Not Disturb for about 48 hours, man. What about you, bro?
Do Not Disturb on Tuesday. Took the day off. I'm like, all right, shut out from everything. I'm sleeping. Woke up around like 2 in the afternoon that day, and that's when all the fatigue hit me. That was the moment when all the aches and pains, things that I was ignoring for the past 72 hours, just bam, hit me like a freight truck.
Man, and that's kind of one thing I want people to understand. They think because we like pro wrestling that this wasn't work. It was just funny games all the way through. Could you speak to that, man?
It's a weird thing to really describe because first and foremost, everyone that knows you're working would be like, is this part of your job or is this like for fun? Like, why can't it be both? That's right. One thing people need to understand is, yeah, we are having fun. Yeah, this is something that we've loved since we were kids. But at the same time, we're here for a reason. We're here to cover something and to make sure we put in the best light we can, recap it as much as possible, and network. That's a big part of this whole event is WrestleMania was designed to bring wrestling fans all together in one place. Same in the media end, because we got people covering all over the world, and we're never in the same place at the same time till Mania. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely, man. And we were talking about earlier, seriously, people from not just local, not just in America, people from literally all over the world, like you just said, reporters from Puerto Rico, France,
New Zealand, brother.
Everywhere, man.
Yeah, I was sitting next to like a bunch of reporters all the way from New Zealand. They're the ones that are the real troopers. They got to watch every week of WWE in some backwards time zone.
Right.
Where for them, Monday Night Raw is something they watch during breakfast or something that they'll have to watch after work because it's happening during their jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's insanity. I tried that once, going to the Philippines. It takes a toll on you because you're, was it Tuesday morning over there when it's Monday night here? So it really messes with you.
See, and I complain about trying to stay up to watch the New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-views that are a different time zone. Or even like when WWE does one overseas and it's like at 9 in the morning as opposed to 8 at night, man. So I totally
Brace
can imagine.
Brace yourself, Whip. It's coming. Exactly that is coming. We got France, Scotland, yes. Saudi Arabia. Luckily, Toronto's on the same time zone right over here.
But I want to kind of get into your personal experience, man, because me and Joey were kind of talking about us. You know, the WWE gave out the platform, the packet of what we had to do. But you also had to work with Busted Open, and they put on some big shows themselves. Like, could you let the people kind of know some of the shows Busted Open put on during WrestleMania weekend?
So for WrestleMania weekend, we started on Thursday at Xfinity Live, where we did the Live Masters Class, which is a podcast-exclusive episode that drops every Sunday. You get Dave LaGreca, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray, and Mark Henry break down like the inner workings of pro wrestling. So this is more of a wrestler's podcast, a wrestler's episode. So if you're a fan and you want to dive into wrestler brain and to see the X's and O's of how things are put together without really spoiling it too much, the Masters class is the way to go. And they did that live on Thursday. Friday, we got some interviews left and right because we were at the WWE hotel doing a live show there. Saturday was our big one. That was at the ECW Arena, now known as the 2300 Arena. And think about it. Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer started their careers there. Now they're celebrating 15 years of Busted Open in the very same hallowed grounds that they first started in. Dave started there as a fan. His diehard fandom really kicked into full gear in his 20s at the ECW Arena. And here they are pretty much main eventing it. And for those that were not there, it was a full wrestling show setup. We had a ring with the Busted Open logo in the middle, stage, pyro, you name it, what you could find in a wrestling show, it was there, Busted Open. And we were not done there. Just when you thought that we already had a jam-packed weekend, we had Sunday, right in front of the link, we had a tailgate, we were giving away pink bathrobes to show our solidarity for now our WWE champion, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I'm still a little upset about that. I was a Roman guy, but it's okay. It's okay.
And yet, every right to acknowledge him that day. By the end of WrestleMania 40, the whole world acknowledged Roman. Because those who were in denial, and for those who hated him, and for those who were not fans of Roman from the get-go like myself, by the end of Mania 40, you got to see Roman in victory and in defeat, and you just acknowledge him all throughout.
Oh, absolutely, man. By the end of the night, I think Thank You, Roman was trending.
Hell Hold yeah. On.
No.
And look, of the Raw after Mania when we were there.
Yeah.
The whole arena, 20,000 people, just thank you, Roman.
Mm-hmm. And that's something else I want to talk about, man. Like, putting those events together, those were some of the biggest events of WrestleMania weekend. And you guys even did a WWE World panel as well during WWE World. But with that being said, can you tell people, like, to put that together, you can't just say, hey, we're going to put a party together and it's going to pop the day before. Like, that's months of planning, correct?
Yes, months of planning. A lot of bright minds put together. Got our bosses, Eddie Borsilli up there. Producer Paul's in there. And even our old boss, Mother Marissa, always comes in to help out for the Mania weekend because it is a major, major haul on our end. And the best part of it is, if I'm not mistaken, Busted Open was the only free event in Mania weekend. You didn't have to pay to get in. It wasn't one of those things where it's like WWE World where you can go to stuff there. They'll say it's free to the public, but the moment you get there, then you'll see that there's a paywall. All this stuff's free inside of WWE World. It's part of the attraction. This one was flat out outside of that WrestleMania bubble, still in Philly, within proximity to the link, but free for everybody. And another thing that was free that weekend were cans of ZOA. We had the ZOA bus in front of the ECW arena, and I tell you, that was the first time I had ZOA in my life, and I love energy drinks. That one is greatness on another level. I'm not plugging it. I wish ZOA could just, like, you know, slide some dollars in there, just, like, pass me a sticker, throw it in my car, because that stuff's really good.
Man, listen, that is true, because actually, I went to Wale Mania also, and they were giving out free ZOA. And let me tell you, that ZOA kept me going a lot during WrestleMania weekend. I'm not even going to lie to you, bro. That energy drink.
I think that's how I survived night one and got me to night two. Because I had three of those ZOAs right from the get-go. Because it's the first time having each flavor. Yeah. Didn't know I was having it one can at a time. Then you just feel the mana kick in.
Now, bro, I want to ask you this. How were you able to bounce back and forth from the list of things WWE had for us and Busted Open?
I mean, you sacrificed a lot.
Did you get to go to everything that Busted Open did? And did you get to go to everything that WWE got to do?
No, I did not. And I'm perfectly happy with that because what WrestleMania weekend has become as a whole, between Wale Mania, Busted Open, Not Sam Podcast, all the indie promotions, and WWE itself, what the whole city of Philadelphia has become was Disney World that weekend. Yeah. Regardless of which theme park you choose to go to, within all those 4 days, you have fun, period. That's your choice. It's your ride. It's your fandom. You choose where you want to go. You want to spend a day just like meeting and greeting your idols? You go to WrestleCon. You want to like sit down for a good talk show live? Then you go to Busted Open. You just want to watch straight up wrestling? Then you just go down another couple of blocks because there's wrestling over there. That's what it is. On my end, it was Busted Open heavy. By work and second by choice because I love Busted Open. I'm addicted to it. I was a Nation member before getting started, so okay. I'm 100% in. And I did that and then WrestleMania. And I wanted to also do WWE World on Monday and check all that out, but we also had an eclipse happening, so I had to weigh my options there.
Nice, nice. Now, you talked about working with Busted Open, man, and also so many journalists. because that's what we are. I don't care what anybody says. We're media personnel. We're journalists from all over the world. How was it to catch up with like Candace Cordelia? Well, obviously, you work with Denise Salcedo, but some of the other people from all over the world, man.
What's crazy is about three-fourths of that press box, I've met them on Zoom all throughout the pandemic. Whether it's your Chris Van Vliet's over there to everybody that was placed in there, even our own Gabby was there from the Gabby AF podcast, her new thing. Everyone was there, and all of them I've at least seen at some morning where I'm half awake running a board. And I'm just like, okay, I remember them. Then seeing them in person and finally getting to meet them. And at the same time, just like how you see another wrestling fan, before wrestling was cool, right? In the whole time before wrestling was cool, the era I grew up in, when you saw a fellow wrestling fan, you knew that family's right there. Everyone's coming together. You never met that person, but you feel that bond right at that moment. Same with the press box. You've seen all these people. You've seen what they've done. You've been on YouTube. You've been on social media. You've seen all the hard work they put in. And for all of us to celebrate the hard work we put in and our fandoms together was hella fun. I appreciated my time in the around there in the press box, seeing a bunch of old friends and meeting some new.
Facts, man. Now, I talked about this on my earlier interview. I was talking to somebody. They said 400 outlets around the world applied for credentials. And I think roughly 125 or so got approved. With that being said, some of my friends that do the thing, they might not have actually got approved yet. But I want you to say a word to people that are trying to keep going hard. Like, why should they continue and not just give up because they wasn't approved for this event
All right, first
or
and
any event?
foremost, if you're doing something just for the press pass, you might need to second guess what you're doing, because this is a lot of hard work you're putting in. You're putting a lot of time, life, sacrifice, and hours into this. You're sacrificing different events in your life and possible options you can have so that you can let this business of pro wrestling grow. That's what we as media are here for the wrestling business. We're not here to cause tribalism. We're not here to cause hate. We're here to get what we know has been so awesome to us since our childhood and spread it across to all the fans out there who are starting, especially in this new era, starting to really get into wrestling. Because now I'm pretty sure that we have a whole lot of new fans after Mania 40.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely, man.
So for my advice for the people out there who are trying to get in and working their ass off, keep going. Every single interview you do, every single post you make, every piece of work you do is a puzzle piece to your brand. And that's what you got to think of. So even if you don't make it this year, even if you got approved for just like Media Week, but not Mania itself, that's an acknowledgement in and of itself. If you get any form of approval that it went through somebody's eyes and they look through your profile, it means that there's eyes on your product. Like that's a blessing in and of itself. So just keep pushing, because there will come a day where everything's going to line up.
Give them that word, man. And I'm gonna tell you on a personal level, I've told this story before on my show, and I know because I started my podcast during the COVID, just something to do. I've always liked wrestling, so and I initially didn't even talk about current pro wrestling. I talked about a lot of old school wrestling, you know what I mean? Then I kind of started going into the newer stuff. I would have never thought that it would have transitioned from doing a podcast to getting a spot on an actual radio station into actually getting approved because I know. Don't laugh at me, man. You can laugh at me. When I first got that, Deshaun, you are approved email, the waterworks started, man. Because just like you said, it showed me that somebody was watching, somebody liked what I did, or they acknowledge what I did. So, like you just said, to everybody out there listening, do not give up because it is work. I think you can attest to this. There were friends of mine that just traveled to WrestleMania. I didn't even get to see them. Because it was so much was going on that we were doing. Would you? I know probably on your side too.
And what you should remember, it's not about where you sit for WrestleMania. It matters who you're around with at that moment. Because you don't have to be in the stadium to feel the same emotions that everyone in there was feeling. If I wasn't in there for Mania, I would be at the ECW arena where 200 people or 2,000 people will sound just as loud as being at the link. And the fact that it's all closed in, the sound's gonna bounce even harder on your eardrums, more
Yeah.
than how the link was. That echo saved
Oh,
you from
yeah.
hearing that mega pop. But when Cody got that win, all around the world, you hear the pop.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I know you talked about the ECW arena before we get out of there, because I was able to stop by there for a show myself for a second. Could you let these people know how it felt to be in this historical thing? I mean, they still had the ECW mural in the men's bathroom. Could you kind of talk to that a little bit?
For everyone who's not familiar with the history of the ECW arena, just remember that this was a warehouse when it first started. That is what it was, a bare bones warehouse that great creative minds and lots of strong bodies sacrificed have put together a brand and a revolution so big that now when you step in there today, you can feel it in there. Especially if you've watched the matches, you can kind of pinpoint at which corners of the arena this move happened, who got burned in that corner. Oh, there was a bleacher over here. You remember where the scaffolding was? Like, bits and pieces of it. And I grew up post-ECW. I had to play the catch-ups on my early fandom. One of the first things that I made sure to watch was the 10 most bloodiest ECW matches. Explains why
you
I'm a lifer
today.
You
jump right in, baby. You just jump right in.
So when you enter in there, you're thinking of the weight of what all those legends have put in, plus you know yourself, the geography from what you've seen on TV. Then you see the mural. You're on hallowed ground. You just feel it.
Man. Now, I want to talk about this because I see you got your busted open 24/7 shirt on, and I know LaGreca already said they got 6 months to make a decision. He's putting his foot down. I like that. But I've been blessed to have Paul Ehrlich on the show before. I've had Mark Henry. How is it to work with like Mark, Tommy, Mickey James, and all those great legends and just feel their energy and how they still love this business? Oh, can't forget Bully Ray. You know, how's that feel, man?
Absolute insanity, especially that every single host you mentioned has a different personality and brings a different slice of character, flavor, and knowledge to the pie of Busted Open. So if I'm in, like, let's say I get to pick and choose my week, right? And say, I'm in a mood on Monday to learn a thing or two about how things are done, then I would like to hear Bully. I want to hear on Tuesday more about the history of things and on a grand scheme. Or maybe, you know, it's like, what was it, like baseball season's just getting started. I want to hear like where the analogies hit. I go to Tommy. Like each and every host has that different flavor. So it's really great to and refreshing to the ears that, yeah, I've heard their voices over and over and over again for 6 years now, but it never gets old because the wisdom that they pass on is endless. The experience they share is timeless, and you're just in it for the ride. And for me as a producer myself, it helps me work with different personalities, get to know how people operate and what makes a great radio show. What do I get to learn what my hosts need so that they can be the best version of themselves on the air. Like, that's the connection that you do when you're working with talent. And that's another like tip for anyone who ever thinks of working with talent. I just got lucky to be here, and I make sure that everyone knows that I'm happy to be there, and I got their back no matter what. And that's how you should be working with talent. That's the biggest lesson I've learned from working with this fun crew, crew of people. Right, I was mixing group and crew, but yeah, group.
Salute to you for that, man. I'm going to tell you, if y'all don't understand, the producer job is very serious, man, because I know my producer gets on me all the time, 24/7. So salute to you, man, because I know you guys have a huge job as well.
The easiest way to explain the producer job is, you know, when you're in the middle of something, like whether it's work or something you're really putting your mind into, then you got the front part of your mind looking at the exact task at hand. Then you get that internal dialogue running in your head, doing your checklist, making sure that you're not going to screw up whatever you're doing. That's the producer.
That makes sense, because I asked my producer, could I do a show one time on the top of a building? Long story, he wasn't for it. We'll talk about it another time, man.
Oh, should have happened. That's your tribute to the Beatles.
Facts, man. But one more thing I want to ask you too, man. Seeing all those shows that you guys did come together, how did that feel? Because I know I used to manage a musical group, and we would work tirelessly to get these big events out. And when I saw them on stage rocking that crowd, I felt like my children have grown up to become adults. How does that feel to see these big events that you guys worked so hard to put together come out so successful?
in my eyes, I come in as the fan. As much as there's planning and everything, like a pro wrestling fan, I turn on my suspension of disbelief. I know and I trust on what's in store, and I just let it roll. Don't worry too much. Let the moment come, because everyone in this already knows what they're doing, and let's just put it all together. And that's, I had a hell of a time at the ECW arena, and I was able to bring my family to watch everything that ensued. That was a wild time. And just enjoy it as a fan. Turn off the producer brain. Just enjoy the moment, because this is what we've been working up for.
That's so dope. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad you said that, because that leads into my very last question for this segment. Mark Henry did it. Paul Ehrlich did it. And now you're going to do it, Andre.
Bring it.
It's called the mark out moment. And what that is really simple. I'm not saying you go out there screaming like, oh my God, I can't believe this. But you have that one moment that you're like, man, this is my life. Like, I can't believe I'm part of this. And you might not have, like I said, you might not have went crazy, but internally you felt like, yo, this is it. What was that mark out moment for you?
Wait, the mark out moment? Like the mark out moment that made me mark out for the rest of my life?
Well, you might have been like, being a producer, you might have said, you know what? Meeting Ric Flair was the moment I realized I'm that guy. Or this is my moment. Or, you know, maybe you were out and about and somebody you didn't know knew you, like The Rock said, hey, what's up, Andre? Like, was there a moment you had that you was like, you really internally marked out?
There's two moments.
Talk to me.
First moment, I guess, as a fan, as a wrestling fan, it was meeting John Cena.
Okay.
That moment there, like, I froze up, and the only words that could come out of my mouth right then and there is, I grew up hating you so much.
Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks. Wow. Okay.
And he was laughing with it because he gets it. Like, that was part of being in the 2000s. Hating Cena was just your evolved love of Cena. It was, you were a kid liking Cena and you just kind of grew up in between and your voice dropped a little bit.
For sure.
Then the second moment, and this is a busted open moment, was everything all about Andy Capp's hot fries. So it was during the pandemic, and out of nowhere, and you know how WWE was early in the pandemic. It was something where we needed to find a way that we get to talk wrestling, but at the same time, keep things spicy, keep things juicy, and keep things rolling. Because it was not a lot of rolling in wrestling compared to how it is now. And out of the blue, Andy Capp's hot fries just became our point of discussion. Then Dave, Bully, myself, and Gabby at that time. And Dave liked it. And Dave and Gabby were anti, or was it Bully and Gabby were anti, me and Dave were pro Andy Capp's hot fries. And ended up spending a couple minutes just like going back and forth about it. A couple minutes later, we get a call. It's one of the higher ups at ConAgra, the guys who are making it. They're like, thanks for talking about our stuff. Yeah, I'm serious. That he's like, you want like a year's supply of Andy Capp's hot fries? I'm like, what? Like, me being like, I grew up Andy Capp's hot fries.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, hopefully I can still say this on the air, I'm still fat ass at heart. So, so I was more than happy to say, yeah. And they delivered.
Wow.
And along with that, hot fries were Slim Jims. And if you're a fan of Busted Open, I'm pretty sure somewhere deep in your head is the full script of Snap Into a Slim Jim, somewhere engraved in your head.
Yes.
All of that sparked from a random discussion of Andy Capp's hot fries that even got Twitter blowing up. It got callers calling in on the debate of Andy Capp's hot fries. And then one of ConAgra's finest calling in because he's a loyal nation member.
Man,
see, shout out to John, by the way.
That same brings up one last question. It was supposed to be the mark out moment, but that makes me think about one more. Isn't it amazing? And tell me maybe a name or two of some people that are part of the nation that you would have never expected were huge wrestling fans or even listen to the nation show.
Let's see. Going in the Rock scene, I was surprised that Lars Fredriksson was a fan. That was just a shocker, because before working at Sirius, I was part of WSOU, which is a heavy metal radio station here in Jersey. So I've been playing their music for the longest, and that's also on one of my bands, also on my list of like bands to watch. And the next thing you know, hearing Lars talk about wrestling, I'm like, what? And not only him, but Corey Taylor. Yeah, and for those who don't know, by the way, he's the lead singer of Slipknot and the lead singer of Stone Sour. Two gimmicks, same guy, X-Pac, 1-2-3 Kid, same dude, same gimmick, Corey Taylor.
Nice, nice, man, nice, nice. Well, man, Andre, thank you very much. I know you're busy, man, but before we get out of here, I want you to, even though everybody knows, let's just say they didn't. Tell them where they could get a hold of Busted Open Radio, and if they want to get a hold of you as well, could you do that for me?
First and foremost, let's go to the live radio show. Busted Opens live every day, 9 to noon Eastern, on Fight Nation, channel 156 on Sirius, also on the app too. So you can hop on the car, hop on the phone, whatever it may be, it's there. Then if you want to catch us on socials, at Busted Open Radio on X, and at Busted Open on Sirius XM for Instagram and TikTok. And if you want to see what you've been hearing and catch the daily podcast in video, then you go to add Busted Open Podcast on YouTube.
So sweet, man. Thank you very much for your time, man. And we're going to be listening right away, because we love Busted Open and we're all part of the nation, my guy.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, that's a wrap.
Yes, sir.
All right, Whip, thanks so much.